Question before I get started. Anybody need a pen? Lift up your hand. She needs one right there. Is that flowers for me? Wow.
You can have half of them. You can have the lower half. I'll take
the other. Oh, you can, the part that belongs to me is the stem. Hallelujah. I just want to speak about, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6 real quick. And before I get into tonight's study, the Lord just laid in my heart, I got to establish some things. One of the things I want to deal with first is the once saved, always saved teaching. You're saved when you put your trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. You repent, you acknowledge he died on the cross, rose from the grave, paid the penalty of your sins, and you receive his forgiveness for your sins. You ask him to come into your heart as your Lord and Savior. But then he says, follow me. So you're abiding in him and he's abiding in you. Some, and who knows who they are, and I'm not going to say who they are, give the heart to Jesus, but then they deny him and stop following him. Amen? And Hebrews writes about this in Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 4. He says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Okay? So, you know, if you're giving your heart to the Lord and you're serving the Lord, that's one thing. But if you rebel and you reject him and you go south, there's a penalty to pay. Amen? And he said it's hard to renew them. Then he says, turn with me to Romans chapter 14. Romans 14. Verse number 8, as the church, as the body of Christ, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? In verse number 8, it says, for whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge us rather that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it's the only other place in the Bible where he talks about the judgment seat of Christ. And verse number 10 says, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he have done, whether it be good or bad. Amen? So we're not losing our salvation, but when we sin afterwards and we know to do better and we don't, we're going to answer for those things at the judgment seat of Christ. We're not losing our salvation, but we will give an account for them. Amen? I don't know about you, but I want to be transformed into his image more and more. I couldn't imagine what that seat's like to be standing in front of a pure and holy God, and those things are revealed. So we're not losing our salvation if we're following Jesus, but he's telling you there's no license for us to sin. Amen. The apostle Paul said to the Romans, he said, "Shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid." Okay? So we're being transformed to the image, and we're being perfected in the image of Christ. We haven't got there. Nobody's got there, but we're all on a journey together. And tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about, first we talked about the temptations. We talked about the world, the warfare, and the wavering. The Bible says that for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory which overcometh the world, even our faith. Then we talked about the temptation last week and the trust, as we trust him that we can triumph. And tonight we want to talk about the trial that tests us, okay? That we go through some fiery trials in life, amen? And our text tonight is found in 1 Peter chapter 1. So go there with me. 1 Peter 1, verse number 6. He said, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom, though now you see him not, yet believe, and you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." So the Lord isn't saying that we're not going to go through some trials, okay? But we're not going through our trials and our tests alone. So first thing we're going to look at is the faith. Sometimes we have to have faith to take a step forward or move or take a step. Hebrews chapter 11, we find the account of Abraham, whose faith was accounted to him for righteousness. But the word of God says in Hebrews 11, verse 8, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went." In other words, if we have to see everything before we go, or we have to see everything before we move, there's no faith involved in that. Faith is the substance of things that we're hoping for, the evidence of things not seen. So like Abraham's faith, or moving according to God's word, was counted to him for righteousness. So as we're looking at that, not only are to move, but also that to maintain. James says in this, James chapter 1, verse number 2, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." What did he say in Romans 5? He says what does our trials bring? The trials bring patience, and patience gives us experience. Experience gives us hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to you and I, okay? He says given us, but it's to you and I. So one of the things is that sometimes we have to move by faith. We have to maintain our faith. I mean, we've got to keep what's been entrusted to us. And also, then faith manifests itself. And the account I want to use is in Matthew chapter 9. There was two blind men that came to Jesus. And verse number 27, he said, "When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying, saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come to his house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And they were both healed. In other words, God's calling for us during our fiery trials to be moved by faith, to maintain our faith, and then faith will manifest itself. Amen. God says he'll never allow more than you can bear, and he'll always give an avenue of escape. Remember, last week we were in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. So as we look at that, we're saying, okay, at the same time, we constantly, every teaching, everything that we're looking at, faith's involved in it all. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen? So if we're just looking for everything to happen, and we're waiting for everything to happen, guess what? We're going to be a sad bunch of people. And we'll be sad, disappointed. You know what we'll blame? Well, God, why didn't this happen? God, why didn't that happen? Lord, why did this and why did that happen? And God said, did you move in faith? Did you maintain your faith? If you move in faith and maintain your faith, all of a sudden faith will manifest itself. Amen? In other words, his time is always perfect. He's never late. Anybody have any thoughts in this area? Well, see, he's always early. We're always expecting him earlier. I was reminded, Jay and I was out lunching Tuesday, and you know, a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. And we try to put God on our time schedule. And he's an infinite God over the entire universe, all right? And he isn't limited to minutes and seconds and hours. You know, he's not, we have that, and we expect that, but God's timing is always right. Amen? Secondly, it's important for us not only to have the faith during the fiery trials, but it's important for us to fight. The fight that we're fighting, it's a good fight. So in 1 Timothy, it's a familiar scripture. 1 Timothy 6:12, he says, fight the good fight of faith. What are we doing with our faith? We're moving in faith. We're maintaining our faith. Faith is being manifested. And now we're fighting the good fight. We're fighting a good fight of faith. We're laying a hold of eternal life. Whereunto thou art called to profess a good profession before many witnesses. Now, you know, I'm going through a fiery trial. I know that where my promise is, like nobody can tell me that I'm not going to heaven. Because in 1 John 5:13, he says, these things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. So I know when I'm abiding in his word and his words abiding in me, I know where I'm going. And so he's telling me, since I know where I'm going and I have a destination, I'm going to fight the good fight of faith, because whatever tries to stumble me and trip me up, I'm not going to let it trip me up from stealing the prize. Amen? Amen? You know, the devil, he fights dirty. But the Lord tells us to fight the good fight. Amen? We're not fighting dirty. This fight is a righteous fight. Turn with me to Romans chapter 7. Verse number 23. This is what we're dealing with. The Apostle Paul says, But I see another law in my members, a warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Amen? If we're led by the flesh, we're in trouble. We got to be led by the Spirit. Amen? Then he says in the next verse in 8:1, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who do what? Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen? All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life are not of the Father, they're of the world. Amen? So we're in a battlefield here. God wants you to understand, and you'll probably hear this a million times in this house. This is an invisible fight. Amen? In other words, if you put a face on the fight, you lose. If you put a face on the fight, the one you're fighting loses. There's no winner when you put a face on the fight. Jesus said this to you and I, this is a spiritual battle that's fought in the spirit, and then God manifests it in the flesh. He says in Ephesians 6, verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our battle is not with people. Don't put a face on it. The adversary wants you to put a face on it. The adversary wants you to get in a disagreement with somebody in the body or somebody in your family or somebody at your workplace, and he wants you to be in disagreement with him, so you're arguing with them so he can have a heyday. Amen? We're not wrestling people. Amen? We're not battling people. We're battling spiritual wickedness. Amen? So he says then that we have the faith, that we have the fight, but we also have the fire to deal with. One thing about God, God is a fire. He's a purifying fire. So look with me in Malachi chapter 3. Everybody with me? Verse number 2. But who may abide in the day of his coming? Question mark. And who shall stand when he appeareth? Question mark. For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. You know, I was thinking about when I'm sitting before the judgment seat of Christ, you know. There's Holy Ghost fire there. We talk about Holy Ghost fire, but he's a consuming fire. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Whose righteousness do we have? Jesus Christ. Who's covered us now? Jesus Christ. But on the judgment day of Christ and before the judgment seat of Christ, Jesus is lifted off and we're standing before God. Okay? There's a difference between being covered with Jesus, amen, and then Jesus standing back, and now Jesus is God before us, amen. So it's because the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, all three are one. You know, he said in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. You know, the three are the Trinity, all three in one. So we look at this. The fire purifies. The fire purifies our lives. The trial of fire purifies us to produce. You know. In other words, it's burning off the shaft, producing in our lives. And now I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, this is the trial in heaven of your works. Were your works for yourself or were they for God? Were they to glorify God or were they to glorify yourself? That's what's tested. And everything that wasn't to glorify him will burn up and disappear. There won't be any rewards for it. He says in 1 Corinthians 3:13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Amen? The trial of our faith is working here, right? And we're fighting, we're dealing with fire. And when I was looking at this, the Lord took me to Daniel. So let's go back to Daniel chapter 3, and it's a familiar account of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we find that King Nebuchadnezzar put out a decree that when the horn blew, that everybody was to bow down and worship the idol. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to worship creation and not the creator. Amen? And there were three Hebrew men that stood in faith. They fought the good fight. And the word of God says in verse number 19, "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it won't be to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them in the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen and their hats and their other garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto the counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. You know, the angel of the Lord was with them. And these three men, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego, they were tried in a fiery furnace. Amen. God didn't keep them from the fiery furnace, but he prevented the fire from burning them. Amen. And the trying fiery furnace, sometimes we relate fire and standing before the fire of God as our skin being burning up and stinking. Okay, that's kind of what we relate it to, do we not? But we're in Christ Jesus. Now the fire we're standing before is a purifying fire. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand before the Lord and we're going to be purified as he paid the price, as he created us to be. Sin distorted what God created us to be. And I'm going to get a drink of water. Am I getting scratchy? Huh? Oh, my anniversary gift. Thank you, darling.
God says to us, we need to keep the faith. We need to fight the good fight. Yes.
Come here. This word. Hello, hello. As I was saying, what the Lord is saying to you and I tonight is, hey, we're going to face fiery trials in this life. And he says that we need to fight the good fight. We need to keep our faith, fight the good fight, and we'll walk through the fire. We'll be just like the Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. We'll come out unsinged and not burned. Amen? And the psalmist tells us in Psalms 34, verse number 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God will deliver you and I. Then he says in verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Amen? Any questions? Any thoughts? Anybody? Everybody got it? Everybody got it?